Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call the August the 14th Occupational Therapy Examiners Meeting of Order at 1:35. We'll start with roll call. Karen, if you would.
Quentin McAllister.
Present.
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Charlene Marps.
Present.
I believe it's Charlene's phone that is echoing.
Okay. That brings us to item 3. Are there any declarations of conflict of interest? I don't have any.
This is Barbara Paulson. I do not have any.
Charlene, I don't have any.
All right, moving on to item 4, future board date meetings. We have the September the 11th, October the 9th, and November the 13th. Barring any unknown meetings, that should be fine with me.
This is Barbara. They look good to me at this moment in time. This is Charlene. They're fine with me as well.
All right. To item 5. Are there any corrections for the regular session or executive session meeting minutes, or do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
This is Barbara. I will move that we approve last month's meeting minutes.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Charlie.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
All right, that motion carries 3-0. Moving on to item 6. Review and consideration of possible actions. We have a disclosure on 6A1. Jennifer Cosby Lewis, is she present?
Yes, I am.
Did you want to make a statement in regards to your situation, your disclosure?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just for the record, Ms. Cosby Lewis, do you have your counsel or your attorney online also?
I can't hear.
Karen, I think you said it was Cosby.
Do you? I'm sorry. Is Ms. Cosby Lewis's counsel also on the call?
I am. This is Molly Briscus. I am here
okay,
as well.
Thank you.
Okay. So either one would like to make a statement, feel free.
Just my life circumstances have been extremely difficult, and I am glad you're hearing this, but I'm not glad because the event that led to this being in front of the board is not something I'm proud of and regretful of, and have been working very actively to make sure it doesn't happen again, both personally and within my family.
And this appeared to be something that was strictly family related or in your personal life as opposed to in the work setting.
Yes, and there's some attached letters that even say that, you know, these are the people I've been working with during all this difficult time in my life, and they're still saying that I'm still a high performer and it is not impacting my job. And it has nothing to do with my job.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing that we look for when we're looking at these situations. For me personally, it's not a crime of moral turpitude, so I don't think that we need to open investigation or consider any discipline. I'd love to hear from the other two board members, or if not, then I would be welcoming a motion.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, this is Charlene Marks. I agree. This does not have anything to do with the work environment. I read the documentation as well and agree it's not crime for work.
This is Barbara Paulson. I Ms. Cosby-Lewis for the very comprehensive information, and I will agree with my other board members that we should go forward and make a motion on this.
All right, with that said, I'll make a motion to take no action.
This is Charlene Marbs, I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
And the motion carries 3-0. That moves us on to item 7, review consideration and possible action, acceptance of a consent agreement for Alexander Burke. So I'll open that for discussion. Sabrina, we have an alternative AG for this case, is that correct?
Yeah, you have an independent legal advisor. His name is Seth Hargraves. Mr. Hargraves, are you online? Mr. Hargraves, are you on the line? Mr. Hargraves, are you on the line? Mr. Chair, could you please move on to the next item and maybe we can circle back in 10 minutes or so?
Absolutely. We're going to table this item temporarily and move on to item 8A1, and that's a disclosure for Kristen Hazek's license. And that is not a crime moral turpitude, minor possession. So are there any discussion or a motion for that license?
Charlene Marsh, I move that we approve the license of Kristen Hazek.
Do I have a second?
I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
All right, the motion carries 3-0. That moves us to 8A2, Rachel Mohan, and that is the exact same thing. If there's no discussion, I will go ahead and make a motion to approve Rachel Mohan's license. Do we have a second or any discussion?
I would go ahead and second that motion.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
All right, motion carries 3-0. That brings us to 8B1, Natalie Garland. And that is a very similar situation that is not a crime of moral turpitude. If there's
Mr. Chair, would you like to go into executive session on this one, 8B?
Okay.
It's at your discretion.
Okay, I'll be happy to ask for legal advice, so they can make a motion for legal advice on 8B.
Barbara Paulson, I'll make a second to that motion.
Sorry about that. All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
All right, that motion carries 3-0, so we're going to go into the executive session for legal advice at 1:44.
Okay, so all of those who are attending, we're going into a confidential executive session, so I will move all of you to the lobby, and when the executive session is over, then I will let you all back into the meeting. And this is going to take me a few minutes because we have a lot of people. Thank you. It would almost be easier to set up another meeting.
Or move up. I don't know if there's. I know in Zoom you can do a breakout session. That'd be a.
Oh.
Be easier to view of us then. One thing after all this is over with, all these meeting softwares are going to be really good.
Right, all the bugs have been worked out. That's
yeah.
Okay, are any of the board members calling in on the phone?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to take all the call-in users to the lobby as well.
Can you tell I tried to get into the meeting a few times?
Yes.
My name's all over the place.
Okay, so... let me lock the meeting before I do this. All right, so I have myself, Barbara Paulson, Charlene Marbs, Quentin McAllister, Sabrina Kahn, and Vicky Igarola in the executive session.
I think you missed it, Barbara.
Okay, and we're recording again, and I'm going to unlock the room, and everybody should pop back up. There we go. Mr. Chair, please state the time when we start again.
Okay, we're back into regular session at 2:07. And we are on item 8B1, Natalie Garland, and I believe she's present. Natalie, can you hear us okay? Well, we're opening the discussion for this particular item for Natalie Garland. And there was two separate EOIs with different dates, and they were not disclosed per the statutes within the 10-day period. So I want to open up discussion on this matter for the time.
So I missed that. Is Natalie here or not?
I haven't heard her answer.
Yeah, I saw her not in the room, but...
Okay.
Natalie, can you please speak up? I can't hear you.
She's not showing as muted either.
I don't hear anything. Well,
you know...
May we move forward and come back to that issue?
I don't see that she even has an audio connection.
If she calls in, if I try to contact her on the phone and she calls in, she should be okay then?
Yeah, I mean, I can table this and go ahead and do item 9. And ratify the license and the renewals.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Table item 8B1, Natalie, and we are going to move to item 9, and that is ratifying the initial applications 9A. So I'll make a motion to ratify the 28 initial applications. Do we have a second?
This is Barbara Paulson. I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. So that brings us to item 9B, and that's 121 renewals to ratify. I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve or to ratify those 121 renewals. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second that we approve the renewals.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
All right, that motion carries 3-0, and that brings us to item 10. Karen, do you want to go ahead and do that section, or should we pick back up and go to back to Natalie or Alexander?
It's up to you.
Let's go ahead and do 10. That way it's taken care of.
Hold on. Okay. Agenda item 10, board business and reports. Letter A, board staff activities. We've still been very busy granting and processing waivers at working from home, which is still working out very well. I attended a video conference regarding the proposed OT licensure or occupational therapy licensure compact recently. So that is something that is definitely in the works. The state of Arizona has a choice on whether they join this licensure compact. If we participate early in the process, we get to help create the rules for this. However, they are looking at...
I can hear the meeting now.
Okay. So we are looking at... they're looking at having legislation in the 2021 legislative session, which I think it's kind of late to be starting on getting a bill introduced for something that they don't even have rules written for yet. So, and also there's a budget impact, fiscal impact with something like this, because we would have to change our system. So I'll keep the board up to date with what's going on with that. And if you would like for it to appear on agendas in the future, then you can talk about that later in the meeting.
Okay.
Statistics, we have 4,082 current active licenses. Those are broken down further in the meeting agenda. We have 92 current inactive licenses, 4 active consent agreements, with the next item being due on November 6th, and we have 11 open investigations. Item 10C, COVID-19 related license requirement waivers. I honestly did not have time to go in and figure out how many we've done because I've been so busy processing them. But what I was able to determine was the amount of money that we have granted, well, the fees that we have waived as part of the COVID-19 waivers. So we have granted $7,870 in fee waivers since April 1st. That affects, we take in 90% of that, so that's roughly $7,000 income that we're missing out on. But it's, you know, these people, a lot of them have had their they've been let go, they've had their hours reduced drastically, so there's a lot of financial burden out there for occupational therapists and assistants. Item 10D, administrative project status, policies and procedures, and then the shredding of expired license files. I have not had an opportunity to work on either of those this month. And then finally, 10E, the open board member positions. I have a status update. So at the last meeting, as I said, I sent out the email to all of the occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants who would qualify based on how long they've had their license. And I spoke with Trista Guzman-Glover at the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions 2 weeks ago, and she said that email generated a lot of applications.
Ooh,
so she is anticipating a mid-September or some mid-September appointments.
That's
that is great news.
That might
thank you.
Question too, then. All right. And Karen, if you want, don't worry about putting that shredding on there and the expired license files until things kind of calm down, like
yeah.
with the investigations and COVID and all that. So.
Yes, I mean, we can't even really spend enough time in the office to work on either one of those. Okay.
And then I would like to go ahead and keep the license pack on the agenda for future meetings. That does sound
okay.
like it could be something.
We'll talk about that in item...
That's what I'm doing, item 11.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so Natalie is on the line. I'm just not sure if we can hear her now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
oh, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to hang up my phone, Natalie. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you, thank you.
Was there anything else we needed to add for next month's agenda on item 11?
I don't have anything, Mr. Chair.
I don't have anything either.
I'll make sure that we have board member appointments on there.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we'll go back to item 8. We want Natalie Garland. She is present with us. So what's that discussion? So we saw that some of the documentation, and I think our biggest question is we would like to see the final judgments for the two cases that were disclosed.
Okay, I thought I did send those in. It was just like a single page. They were both of them were paid down to the least amount and misdemeanor, slightest degree, I believe they call it. And so I received only fines and classes that I have to take.
And will you be able to forward that documentation to us? It was not available.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I put it on that system and nothing seemed to go through. So I can email those. Do you want me to email those to Vicki?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, for sure. It was just like a single page that had said the final. But yeah.
Ms. Garland, do you know what would have been at the top of that page, who that would have come from?
Yeah, you know what? Let me look on my computer here. It would have been... unfortunately, there's...
When you submitted your application, you submitted the letter of explanation, and you submitted one single page from the city of El Mirage.
Uh-huh.
And it's the DUI guilty, no contest, the proceedings. And then you also submitted one from Buckeye.
Yes.
Same guilty. And those were like top pages because I can see the staple. So those were two forms that you submitted, and then I asked you for additional documentation. Are these the two forms you were talking about?
Yeah, the one that says Buckeye at the top.
Yes.
Just underneath number one, it then says,
mm-hmm.
Defendant understands the nature of the charges.
Board members?
That is what I ended up with, the first degree misdemeanor.
Board members and Ms. Khan, those will be on pages 148 and 149 of your board meeting materials.
And then the El Mirage.
Thank you, Ms. Whiteford.
What's checked under number one is the same thing. It's the slightest degree. I guess it doesn't really state it clearly there. So I can look and see, I'll go through everything and find where it's like the fees and my classes and stuff.
I have a question for you, Ms. Garland. When you were talking about the classes you were mandated to take, so you've completed the one from 2019 and 2020?
No, the one from 19 is completed. The one from 2020, I will be getting actually next week, and it's 15 classes weekly, and then also a weekend class that I will have to do, and that's scheduled. It starts next week.
Okay, and so what's the time frame on that?
So 15 classes, 15 weekly classes, so hopefully 15 weeks.
Okay, 15 weeks, I just want to make sure, so.
Yeah.
What kind of classes are these, for the record, please?
They are, they're calling them alcohol / substance abuse education classes.
Do you have a list of them, Ms. Garland?
Like the dates?
Well, the dates or the names, you know, because that would be helpful for us to have as documentation.
I can send you what they gave me. Really, all it is, it's just circles 15 sessions, but it does have, like, yeah, the name of the class and the company that it's through.
Ms. Garland, your classes in 2019, what were those called?
I believe it is called the same exact thing, but that was actually just a weekend, like a Saturday and a Sunday, 8 hours each.
Yeah, if you could provide us any documentation from both incidents for those classes as well.
Okay.
And so this was a renewal, so we need to decide whether we're going to open up a complaint, whether we're going to continue this item until next month, what the best situation is. So I'm very much torn myself between whether we should continue this until next month or whether we should grant the license and open up the complaint. So I'd like to hear from two board members on what they think about those options or other options.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from Ms. Garland. These offenses were very close together, and if there's any insight she can provide to us about two DUIs less than a year apart, I would very much like to hear that before we decide which way to go.
Okay, well, the first one was an evening out, well, after work hours, obviously, with friends. It was for a wedding planning party, and I was pulled over for being on my phone, and I did learn my lesson from that, I would like to say, but a year later, I was leaving an unsafe situation, is what happened. And I know it's not right. I know you're not supposed to ever get behind the wheel, but I did because it was an unsafe situation. And unfortunately, I found myself again in this situation. And I've been licensed for 14 years through the board without any sort of problems. And I'm in good standing with my current employers and my past. I've never had any issues at all.
When you said you were leaving an unsafe situation, which incidents are you referring to?
The second one.
Coming home from dinner is how you explain that to us? So I'm a little confused, I guess.
Yeah, something had happened and I felt unsafe. It is not an excuse, obviously. I know it's still wrong, and I take full blame for it. But I know I have learned my lesson now, and I understand the gravity of it.
Well, and I guess the reason we're asking so many questions, too, is that we really rely on the documentation in making any of our decisions, because they're pretty significant decisions we make as a board. So if you would provide anything else, everything else.
Yes, of course.
From court and your classes. It would be very, very helpful, and to your benefit.
Of course.
We understand.
Of course, I can do that immediately.
So you're working currently, you said, yes?
Oh, yes.
May I ask what setting you're working in?
Pediatric.
Is that home health, school-based, or...?
I work for WeCare. We have a clinic. The clinic's closed currently, so it's home-based and teletherapy. And then I also work through Arizona Autism, where I supervise two CODAs now, and that's all home-based, with a little bit of teletherapy because of COVID.
Could you share what was the date for the license renewal? A man has her license. Is it current or expired?
Correctly, Karen said it expired on the 9th.
So am I to understand that she's working with an expired license? Is that correct?
Ms. Marbs, and this is, it's an unusual situation. Ms. Garland did ask for an extension letter,
okay,
which we normally do not grant when there is a disclosure. But she did turn her application in before her license expired. So, you know, that part is on me. I didn't send out the extension letter. I wasn't sure how to handle it.
Was she notified that she wasn't going to get an extension letter?
No.
No, I wasn't aware that I wasn't able to continue working.
If you would like executive session, we could do that. If you're just questioning.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to go into executive session for legal advice. Do I have a second?
This is Marlene.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
All right, motion carries 3-0. We're going into executive session at 2:28.
Okay.
Regular session at 2:37.
And I apologize, I know this is hard doing it WebEx.
That's the best we have.
Yeah. Hey, it beats wearing masks in a big meeting room.
I know. I put lipstick on today because I'm seeing people and I don't have a mask on.
Okay, we're returning to regular session at 2:37. We're recording?
We are recording.
All right, and we're on item 8B1, Natalie Garland, and discussion with the two DUIs, the disclosure information. So I'm going to open the floor back up for discussion. We've requested the classes, the final judgments. Are there any other items that we want to request from Ms. Garland?
And you said final judgments?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But that would be the final judgment for both instances, right?
Both judgments for both incidents. The information on the classes, both the completed one from 2009 and then the current ones.
So, Mr. Chair, So we would also need, it would be a final judgment and sentencing. So we need to know what the court required.
Yes.
Of Ms. Garland.
Yes.
Is Ms. Garland still with us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear
me?
Yes.
Yes. So is that clear about the information we're needing?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it has to be this specific on the sentencing and the information that came out at the end of this, what you are required to do.
Okay.
In specificity.
Okay, I'll send you everything I have.
And Ms. Garland, I would just encourage you maybe to contact each of those courts and speak to the sentencing information documents and things like that to make sure you have it all. And if you don't, they will send it to you or you can get it. Okay?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, are there any other discussions or any motions for the renewal?
Mr. Chair, we are asking for additional documentation. I would like to make a motion that we continue the process on the license.
Okay. I'll second the motion to continue the matter of Natalie Garland's license. Do all in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
My motion carries 4-0.
And one more 3-0. Clarification, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Ms. Garland is able to continue to practice in the meantime. Was that correct?
That's my understanding, according to Ms. Kahn.
Okay. According to Arizona Revised Statute?
41 pitch.
Okay.
Write it down. So.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Did you hear that, Ms. Garland?
I'm allowed to continue practicing. Thank you very much.
But we will look forward to seeing you next month.
Would you like me to attend in person, or is this...
This is about as in-person as we can get right now.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. Yeah. But thank you for asking.
Maybe we'll be back in person. Maybe.
Well, maybe.
Okay, yes, I will be in attendance.
And one last thing, Ms. Garland, you know, if you have questions, I would encourage you to reach out to Vicki as well if you need clarification on what documents.
Actually, if she could contact me, that would probably be better. And Ms. Garland, I'll send you an extension letter so that your employers can confirm that you are able to practice, and then that way you'll have my contact information if you have questions.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen.
All right, so that brings us back to item 7, Alexander Burke. And I believe we were wanting to speak with Mr. Seth Hargroves, is that correct? Sabrina?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the board, Seth Hargroves is the Assistant Attorney General assigned to this case from legal advice. So if the board desires legal advice, Mr. Hargroves would provide that in executive session. I would not in this case. And I'm ready to provide an overview at your discretion.
If you want to go ahead and do that, that's completely fine. We can discuss whether we want to go into executive session or not.
And Mr. Hargroves, are you on the line, sir?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I apologize. I was on the video earlier. But for whatever reason, my mic wasn't working, and by the time I was able to call in separately, we were going into executive session. So I do apologize, but I'm here.
Mr. Hargroves?
Ms. Khan, did you want to go ahead and give the overview? I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, I'd be glad to. So, board members, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Sabrina Khan. For the record, I represent the state in the matter of Alexander Burke. This is board case number 20-OT-0100. Again, the board's independent legal advisor is attorney Seth Hargraves. Alexander Burke is represented by Megan Harvis, who is also present on the line. So what you have before you, board members, it is a proposed consent agreement. This was vetted through Executive Director Karen Whiteford. And what it does is it outlines the disclosures that Mr. Burke had in terms of his forgery charges and his shoplifting charge and the elections charge, which were reduced to misdemeanors as he complied with the court. And I'll let Mr. Burke or his attorney speak to that. But basically what you have in front of you is a consent agreement that shows Mr. Burke's willingness to be regulated by the board. It also basically strikes a balance between protecting the public, imposing monitoring upon Mr. Burke, and provides rehabilitation and education to Mr. Burke. And so right now I'm going to specifically look at page 6 of the proposed consent agreement. And I will pause here for a moment for everyone to turn there. So I'm looking at page 6 of the proposed consent agreement. This is the order portion of the document. So I'll just walk through it briefly so you can see the terms that were vetted here. The first term is probation for a period of 2 years. And later in the order, we'll talk about, you know, his ability to request early termination. But he will be on probation for 2 years. Under this consent agreement. Also, a concern that the board has was his ethics. The board talked about his character and his ethics. And so what was done here is that courses were taken from the American Occupational Therapy Association regarding ethical courses that relate to an educator environment. That's where Mr. Burke will be practicing. And we have outlined several courses here. We've named the course, we've named the hours that the course takes for Mr. Burke's completion within 4 months of the execution of the consent agreement. Mr. Burke, on his own accord, took 3 hours of ethics, titled Ethics for Occupational Therapists. That's also noted here in the consent agreement. So it was a total of, I believe, 11 hours in ethics, and then Mr. Burke would be required to take an additional 4 credit hours in any practice area. All these CE courses are in addition to what is required for licensure renewal. Also, provision number 3, I'm on page 7 of the proposed consent agreement, I'm under paragraph 3, the Occupational Therapy Board statutes and rules, Mr. Burke is required to read them, attest that he has read the statutes and the rules that govern the practice of occupational therapy. Provision 4 is a background check. He will have to submit an FBI standard fingerprint form for the purpose of obtaining a criminal background check, and the time frame is there. For early probation termination after 1 year, Mr. Burke will be able to request that the board terminate his probation early. And at that point, you can assess how he's doing, you can check in with him, you can determine whether or not he has, you know, complied with the terms of the consent agreement in order. And it's at your sole discretion. And so this consent agreement, proposed consent agreement, would grant Mr. Burke a license. However, there would be checkpoints along the way. There would be re-education and, you know, monitoring with the board, the FBI, fingerprint card, which would provide a background investigation just to make sure his record is clear. So I'm just going to pass it off to Mandy Carvis, who's representing Mr. Burke, if she would like to make a statement.
Hi, good afternoon, members of the board. Again, Attorney Mandy Carvis appearing on behalf of Mr. Burke. I believe he was also appearing via phone as well. I'm not certain if he's still on. The board had the opportunity to review and consider his application and the numerous letters of reference that he provided from employers, from professors. Mr. Burke takes his turnaround of his life very seriously, has worked very hard to become a member of the profession, and is willing to do anything and everything that the board asks of him in order to just be given the opportunity to practice. He just really wants the opportunity to do that and to show this board that he can safely and appropriately do so, and that the board can manage the obligation to protect the public, but also to give him the opportunity to use the education that he's worked so hard for. He's really done a lot to turn things around. He voluntarily took an ethics course without even being asked by this board, and is wholeheartedly willing, ready, and able to do everything that is asked of him under the consent agreement in order to be given the opportunity to be licensed. Thank you.
I think at this time I'd like to go into executive session for legal advice with Mr. Hargraves.
This is Charlie Moore. I second.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister? Nope. Oh, hold on.
I'll second that motion.
Charlene seconded the motion. We were just
She did? Oh, I didn't hear.
Okay. Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. We're going into executive session at 2:50.
Okay, one more time, participants. I'm going to move you to the lobby, and then I'll let you back in when executive session is over. Okay, Ms. Khan, I'm moving you to the lobby as well.
Okay.
Mr. Hargraves, are you on the computer and the phone as well?
Hello?
Seth, are you there?
Visual.
I wonder if he's one of the call-in users.
Oh, there he is.
Mr. Hargraves, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay.
Okay, so are you... signed on with your computer and your phone?
Yes, I've been signed on. I signed on with the computer earlier.
Okay.
I was talking and nobody was hearing me.
Okay.
So I went to call in.
Uh-huh.
And when I called in, you guys weren't going into executive session.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because I have a Seth Hargraves and an S-H-A-R-G. Are those both you?
Those are both me.
Okay.
Okay, we're back from executive session. The time is 3:07, and we are going to take a 15-minute recess, and we will return in 15 minutes at 3:22. Is everybody ready to go back into the meeting?
I'm here.
Anybody hear me?
Ms. Marbs, are you on the call?
All right, so we're returning to regular session at 3:25. And we're dealing with the matter of Alexander.
Mr. Chair.
Item 7 on the agenda.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just would like to confirm that Ms. Marbs is on the call.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to open up the floor for discussion for the matter of Alexander Burke. We have a consent agreement to review and discuss, and then possible actions of acceptance, denial, or moving to
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
In the consent agreement, there is a section that talks about when the fingerprint background check is due. I would like clarification about that, please. Does that supersede the original agreement that he had a 6-month waiver because of the governor's executive order? Does that particular clause supersede the 6 months and extend his time to provide fingerprint and background check?
I believe if I, and Karen, Ms. Whiteford, could you please clarify? I believe he's on a waiver, and then I think the timing was when he would have to submit fingerprints at some point in time. I think the December 31st, 2021 would be roughly 6 months after the fingerprint is submitted. But I would defer to Ms. Whiteford regarding the timing of the fingerprint clearance, the fingerprinting issue.
So if the board were to grant Mr. Burke's license today and accept this consent agreement today, because of the waiver that is available, he could postpone submitting fingerprints until February 14th. September, October, November, December, January. Yeah. February 14th of 2021. So he would have fingerprints that would be due on or before that date. And then the intent of the consent agreement was to also require fingerprints on or before December 31st, 2021.
And also, members of the board, you're free to, if you wanted to change the time frame, you know, that's your discretion, and you could just communicate any modifications to Ms. Carvis, and she can, you know, speak to whether or not her client would be open to that.
Additionally, Ms. Marbs, that fingerprint waiver is not, it's not detailed in that executive order or the administrative order that came from the Department of Health Services. We were just asked to waive whatever we could unless they were able to obtain the requirements some other way. I'm not sure how many fingerprint places are open right now. Mr. Burke may or may not be able to obtain fingerprints right now. And the way that this consent agreement is worded, I'm not sure it's clear that we're requiring 2 fingerprint background checks.
Considering the fact that we initially denied this license, I would be more apt to want a background check before moving forward. I think that would be a reasonable ask before we move forward with any kind of consideration for the license. Charlene, would you like to speak to that as well?
I would certainly like that, and I certainly hear what Ms. Whiteford is saying, that we don't know how many places are open or, you know, how and when people can get fingerprints. I don't feel like I have any more information than our last that warrants issuing the license. I feel like I just still personally have the same amount of information that we had before.
I concur completely. The case came up again. I feel very much the same way based on the information. I believe that we made the correct decision in the denial of the license. Charlene, if I remember correctly, Barbara was the one that voted nay on our motion. It would be completely within reason for us to deny this consent agreement and move forward with a formal hearing. Is that a motion that we would want to consider?
It would certainly be a motion I would consider, Mr. Chair.
May I ask a question about regarding the fingerprints? If we're denying it, talking about fingerprints, does that put a undue hardship on the applicant by our decision?
I believe we would have to ask that question of Mr. Hargraves, and that would be asking for legal advice if I understand the process.
I don't know that that's a question that I could answer. I can't speak to what would be a hardship on the applicant or not.
I personally am not I'm an attorney, obviously, but it's something we ask all applicants to do, so I think it's a fairly reasonable ask.
And Mr. Chair, we have been receiving fingerprints from applicants the last 2 weeks or more. We're getting quite a few, so I think places are opening up.
So the conversation would go whether we want to request that and or then look for a motion to further consider this consent agreement or deny this consent agreement and move forward with a formal hearing. I'm very comfortable with making a motion to get the background and then move forward with the hearing.
This is Charlie Marks. I second.
That wasn't a motion, but I will go ahead.
Sorry.
Wouldn't we have to make a decision about accepting the consent agreement first or not?
My motion would be to decline the consent agreement and request that Mr. Burke get fingerprints so we can get the full scope of the background per our normal license procedure, and then move forward with a formal hearing.
Mr. McAllister, at this point on the agenda is whether to accept or reject the consent agreement. You have already made the decision to deny the application. So if you do not accept the consent agreement, the next step would be going to the hearing. I don't believe there would be any grounds to request additional information. You've already made a decision on the information you had. So if you don't accept the consent agreement or give to do modifications to it, if you straight out reject the consent agreement, the next step is the denial hearing.
Okay. In light of that information, I'll make a motion to decline the proposed consent agreement. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Morris. I second.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Nay.
Charlene?
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Motion carries 2-1. And that resolves the matter of item number 7. I believe the only thing we have left, I would like to revisit item, I believe it's 10. Excuse me while I get my agenda. Item 11, agenda items for next month's meeting. We had discussed adding the conference. Anything else that we would like to add for that meeting?
I'm sorry, you cut out, Mr. Chair. We discussed adding
the license compact. Was there any other items that we needed to add for next month?
Karen had said future board members, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's a rolling item, I believe.
Oh, rolling, okay.
All right. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and have our call to the public, item 12. Is there anything from anybody? All right. All you students have fun in school. And we will adjourn this meeting at 3:35. I don't want to stay on because I have a question for Karen.
Need us to stay on as well?
I don't think so.